This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right. Thank you, Woody. And Mike Westhoff, former NFL special teams coordinator, and I mean for a long, long time. You talk about a guy that didn't get shorthanded on the years that he got into the National Football League. On that pension, just when I think that pension's going to start, Woody, the next thing I know, he coaches another 5 or 6 years, and he joins us this morning. Mike, how you doing, bud?
I'm good, Joe. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
I just had to get all that stuff in there, man. I mean, my God. How many years did you end up as a professional coach? Got to be close to 40.
No, not quite, but I'm in the mid-30s. The thing that I end up with, I have a pretty good number, Joe. I ended up right at 700 games.
Wow. Holy smokes, Mike. Yeah, there's a lot of coaches living down here, retired down here, going, damn, that Westhoff guy got a lot more games than I did. Hey, Mike, we got a lot of stuff to talk about here. The special team stuff, kind of been a hot topic before we get into everything else.
Sure.
You're up in Denver, so you got to see the changes or probably heard about them as they're getting ready to happen. What do you think overall of the kickoff and kickoff return? Some say it was good. A lot of people hate it.
I'm not a big fan, Joe. I understand the reasoning, you know, what took place with making the changes. And basically, you know, what you're really doing, the owners were so concerned with, you're trying to eliminate or cut back, certainly, on the big collisions, the big major collision that resulted in serious injury, particularly a concussion-type thing. And that's what they were, you know, opposed. So they came up with kind of a hybrid rule where you kind of squeeze the coverage all together, change the kickoff, you know, those types of things. But it just had so many problems. And you really didn't close the whole thing out anyway because you didn't have the number of returns that they were anticipating. You know, they ended up, I think the average starting field position when I left, I don't have every statistic, but I had to leave right about by Thanksgiving, was right around the 29-yard line. Well, why not just kick a touchback and give it to them on the 30?
Yeah.
So you had the propensity of touchbacks was not lessened very much. It was still way, way, way too many non-plays. That's what took place. And then also because of the fact that the kickoff team, the coverage guys were down lined up at the 30, then there was a 5-yard space and the return guys at the 35. You had to line up at least 9 guys in there. You had that 9. And so you had that 5-yard run, and what happened? Everybody's right on top of each other. And in my opinion, it was a joke. I didn't like it at all because what everybody had to do, you almost had to, you know, you'd set up, you couldn't hardly run back more than 5 yards Well, some teams, they just held every single play. It was ridiculous. I mean, it was. I mean, Dallas was the worst I ever saw.
They just held, huh?
And so, you know, you had that, and so that's some of the problems that occurred with it, and also with the ball, you know, having to go, you know, if it went in the end zone, you know, the touchback, you could run that out, of course, but it's so difficult.
Yes.
To do that, because the blocks are occurring on the 30, and now you're going to try to run from around the goal line. Well, that's a lot of space. And what ended up happening, there were a lot of unblocked guys.
Guys getting the crap knocked out of them. I'm glad you said that. I saw three and four guys drilling these return guys.
Thank you. That's 100%. I watched – what was the game I watched early? The Raiders were playing Cleveland at Cleveland. In my coaching career, I never had anyone – get hit that hard. I was crazy to me. I mean, this didn't exactly solve the problem.
No. Hey, so going forward, now they're talking about moving the field goal kicker back the kicker back 5 yards so that hopefully his foot, and by the way, these guys all have strong legs. They kick it out of the end zone just about any time they want, especially where you were in Denver. So they can talk about moving it back 5 yards, like that's going to help, and hopefully more guys will catch the ball right at the goal line. You think that's the answer, part of it?
Well, there will be. That'll increase it some. That will. I was talking with Joel Bussard in the NFL office. He's the smartest man in the league. Joel Bussard's the guy. He doesn't do as much because he's sort of semi-retired, but he's the guy. And he and I talked a lot about this a couple weeks ago. He's going to propose some changes to the competition committee. We kind of would like to move it back 10 yards.
Wow, I like that.
We want to move it back there. Now, here's the thing. If you kick it, if it goes into the end zone and it's not returned, it's an advantage. It's a win for the kicking team. You get the ball at the 20-yard line, the 20 touchback. Listen, hear me out with this. Now, it would also encourage, if the ball's kicked a couple yards deep, to run it out. You're going to run that one out. Now, you know, you can take it for a touchback, and it's punitive, but this makes it very punitive. If it's kicked out of bounds or something like that, it still goes to the 40. Now, the change that I would throw in there with it, I would have the coverage guy start at the 30. But rather than have just 5 yards before the return guys lined up, I would go 10.
Yeah.
I would put them back 10. The reason being, I want to be able to drop back a little bit and set up and create a play. My whole philosophy as a kickoff return coach, and I think I did this as well. I had the most touchdowns, so I know I did it well, period. That's it. I'll just be that honest. I love drawing this up. I love creating blocking schemes. I treated it as a running play. Well, when everybody's lined up right on top of each other, there is no scheme.
Correct.
It's almost just drop, set up 2 yards, grab the guy and hang on. But if I could move them back 10, now we could have a little bit of creativity with it. So I think it would help create proper blocking. If you grabbed and held, throw the flag.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of ignore that. They're almost like, we want the play, so we're not calling holding. Just put on a Dallas film and watch it and tell me if they don't hold
any play.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Hey, Mike, I got to ask you, we got so much to get to. Onside kick. 4 of 20 on that didn't work real well either. I think people thought there'd be, and now this thing is back in play for that 4th and 20. Let the offense come back out and try to get the first down on 4th and 20. Some think that's a little too gimmicky for a kind of a conservative league. What do you think? Is that too gimmicky for you to put the offense back out there and go 4th and 20?
Yeah, I understand it, because at least in some instances, Joe, it gives you a chance when you'd like to just have a chance. I'm for going back to a little bit of adjusting some things. I kind of like where the kicking team can overload a little bit, and you kind of restrict some of those things. How it goes back, I would take it back a little bit to the way we used to do it. Now, I don't think there's going to be the injury situation there. I would argue against that. But I don't like the gimmick. I don't like the gimmick thing of it. I think adjusting the way that it's done, making a couple rule adjustments and some alignment might be an answer to making it a realistic play. I'm for exploring that at great depth.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, I got to ask you, I think one of the best stories in football last year is a guy you got to see up close every day, Bo Nix. You surprised in just how good he was?
No, tell you the truth, Joe, I wasn't. I didn't know that much about, although I was out there for the draft. I watched, I knew that that's who they had targeted. You know, he's a very big targeted kid. The thing that I like so much about him, Joe, is that, you know, I think he started, what did he start, 68 college football games?
Yeah,
or
he
something
played a
like
lot,
that.
Yes.
With COVID, he got that extra year. And so that, when you look at some of the guys coming out, they, you know, I looked at some of the top draft choices. They play, well, they're 10, 12 guys. Whoa, this guy's got 68. You know, and he played at Oregon, and then he played at Auburn.
Yeah, he played a ton.
I mean, that's great, great competitive football as a really good football player. So I think he had an advantage going in. Everything, did he do everything perfect? No, he didn't. But I think as they develop, they have to develop a little bit of a running game because they pretty much had zero. So that didn't help too much. But
yeah,
but he did some. He's good. He's a big guy. He works exceptionally hard. I think he's got a very, very bright future ahead of him. Very bright. And it was good anyway.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I got to share some of the stuff I get on this show all the time. You're on the inside. You're on the other side. You're on the football, and you're in the coaches' meetings for your whole life, basically. Do we protect the quarterback rules? Does the NFL protect quarterbacks too much, in your opinion?
Yes. Yeah, I want it to be fair. I want to eliminate that hit to the head and the face. I never taught it, even when it wasn't a rule. I didn't teach it. I mean, I like knocking the heck out of you. I think I did that as good as anybody, but we're not going to. I think it's overdone, and sometimes it's really dramatically overdone, and I think that's a shame. I just want it to be fair and not to be – they are overprotected to a degree, without question.
Late slides.
If Dan Marino were playing today, Joe, you'd have to pay him Bill Gates money.
I was going to ask you, it's funny you said that because I know you know Dan as well as anybody. What would his stats look like with the way they protect quarterbacks? With that guy sitting back in that pocket, what kind of yards would he put up in 17 games?
It would be ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I've been watching a lot of you put on the internet, you get something, and you click on it, watch it. The next thing you know, you get 6,000 in a row. So I've been doing, for some reason, every day I get clips of things that Dan Marino did. And he's just, he was really, really good. I see you in there now and then. I see you catching your share, which is pretty cool.
Who's this guy? Who's this guy talking? What does he know about Dan Marino? He's a special teams guy.
Hey. Well, you know about that. I was coaching offense, too. Don't forget, I had tight end.
Mike, we had
eight coaches on the staff. Today they got 28. So
now they got 35,
hey,
Mike.
Hey, Mike, that's Kim Bokamper joining us. Just came in to give you a hard time. Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't see him anyway.
Hey. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Mike, that is funny what Bo just said. When you were started coaching, there was like 10 guys on a coaching staff, and now it's basically unlimited. I think we've added another one or two extra guys that we didn't get rid of, like maybe got rid of two and added three more here. Is that the new league, man? A lot of coaching up. Guys are getting coached up with all these coaches.
I don't know. I watch the game. I'm not seeing any gigantic, incredible difference in it. That doesn't. I think it, every bit is well coached. I think it's just a matter of, you know, now everything is so specific. Everybody wants to have. You used to have a linebacker coach. Now you got an inside, outside, all those things. I don't know. I enjoyed it because I also like this time of the year getting involved in scouting. I mean, I enjoyed that. You know, I'll go back with me. I mean, I'm the coach. I'm the only coach that went out to Lubbock, Texas that scouted Zach Thomas. So there were scouts, but I'm the only coach. Okay, then after I left there, I went down to Rice, and I ended up signing Larry Izzo as a free agent. So we drafted Zach Thomas. He's in the Hall of Fame. Larry went to 5 Pro Bowls or something. I went. He went to 4 Pro Bowls, has 5 Super Bowl rings. So I think that's a pretty good scout.
Look what you turned him into. Now he's following you as a special teams coordinator.
Yeah, and he's done a great job. He's exceptional. He's at Washington. He's done very well. And when I sat in the front row when Zach Thomas was inducted in the Hall of Fame. So I'm exceptionally proud of that. And I loved doing that. I enjoyed that a lot. That was a big part of the game. Now, you know, I was at the draft at out in Denver. I mean, I might as well have been out on the moon. You know what the hell that.
Hey, Mike, sit down and drink your drink
just
over there.
To follow up on that, with all those coaches – I don't know how they don't get in each other's way. You know, I mean, I actually spoke to a guy on another team, and it was maybe last year. We're out somewhere, and he said, hey, there are guys on this staff. I don't even know who they are.
There's nice. I fit into that class. there are guys that I really didn't know. I didn't know very well. I never ate with them. I kind of was by myself a lot. And, you know, I'm not the most gregarious guy anyway. I don't mean that.
No, you like to talk. You just like to talk specific.
You're not looking to make new friends.
You're not looking to make no.
You're not looking to make new friends on the coaching front to be your retirement fishing buddies. I got you.
I absolutely was not. And they most of them find out, though, if they call me and they get to know me personally, I'm not that bad. But as a coach and opponent, I was pretty terrible. I didn't like anybody.
Yeah.
I don't like. I like our guys. I liked our players. I like my guys. I love that.
Yeah.
The rest of it, I was not a big fan.
I want to ask you about the Eagles. What a complete team that was well coached this year. What do you think of the Eagles and the way they beat up on Kansas City in that Super Bowl?
The general manager Howie Roseman's off the charts now.
Yeah, he's great.
He's the real deal. He knows how to do it. He's very, very bright. I actually got to know him really well a couple of years ago. They offered me a job to come up there a couple of years back. I turned it down, but I ended up having a long talk with him. It was to help him out during the year, kind of a consultant type thing. But I enjoyed my interaction with him. I think they're good. They're tough. They're well coached. They play hard. They're fun to watch. I'm a fan. I like what they've been, and I think they'll, you know. And of course, you know, yeah. Getting Saquon Barkley now—that's a little bit of a—that's a little bit of a steal right there.
But you think?
Yeah, he's the real deal.
Oh man,
I'm so impressed. Their offensive linemen—they're big, they're gigantic, big, tough guys. I mean, they come on the football field. You better get ready to play that outfit.
They fit that Philadelphia image, man.
Boy, they do. That's a bunch of tough guys. That's well put. Mike, we got to run, man. It's been great. I really appreciate you spending some time. If you feel like you have any football buildup, we'll have you on again real soon, man. That's been great. Okay. Thank you.
You do it anytime you call. I love talking to you guys. I like to get over. I like listening. So, hey, thank you. No, thank you for calling.
All right. Mike, you take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, my man. Don't be out there. Do what the doctor says.
You still catch those sharks?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Mike.
Bye.
Mike Westhoff, former NFL special teams coach.
Always a good guy to have on.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah.
He brings it, too. That's Kim Bocamper, and we got to go to break here. Beverly's Jewelers, Jeff and Amanda going, Joe, if people are thinking about getting engaged on a tight budget, we have an incredible offer that you don't want to miss. A stunning 3-carat certified lab-grown diamond, VVS Clarity, e-color, set in custom-made 14-carat diamond ring for just $3,999. Choose from all shapes and larger sizes available at similar prices. But hurry, this deal's only for a limited time. Plus, gold prices are at an all-time high. Beverly's is paying top dollar for your gold, your silver, diamonds, and jewelry with immediate payment. I got to tell you, whatever the occasion is you have coming up, anything, anniversaries, birthdays, they've got something that's absolutely perfect for you in your price range. I trust Beverly's Jewelers and have for more than 30 years. That's where I've been going, in Fort Lauderdale off Commercial Boulevard, or online at bevjewelers.com. Beverly's Jewelers, where South Florida gets engaged.